The Lord bless you, heart dwellers. Tonight I'm going to share with you how the Lord has been reining me in from a dangerous enemy. For those of you who've been with us for a while, it's the Black Panther on the move again. So it's September the 3rd, 2015. The evening began tonight with worship. But before I get into that, I'll just say, recently a dear friend of ours provided a little extra money for me to replace some of my clothing that is embarrassingly falling apart on my body. I have avoided this for years. First, because we didn't have the money, and second, because I didn't want to get carried away, which I can get carried away easily. None of you have that problem, I'm sure, but I do. Anyway, it has become embarrassingly critical, and this donation made it possible for me to replace a few things. Wanting to make the best of what I had, I did a lot of shopping around on the internet and noticed, much to my concern, that I was spending hours looking for what I needed. Usually I shop at thrift stores, but that does take a lot of time and it wears me out, and I have a responsibility to you to get my message out every night, so I was trying to avoid that at all costs. But certain things like long-tailed shirts with turtlenecks and slacks long enough for my height to reach all the way to my ankles, I never find in the thrift stores anyway. So to save time, I looked around online and I found almost everything I thought I needed to replace. And there was just enough set aside to cover it. Well, I noticed something rising up from inside of me after hours and hours of scouring the internet for the right thing. I didn't feel comfortable with it at all. I could feel myself constantly being distracted. What about this? What about that? You know, you need this. Oh, you need that too. You didn't look over here. You didn't look over there. You didn't use the right words in the search engine. Try it again. I could feel something taking me over, and it was nasty. So I went to the Bible Promises and opened to the heading Food and Clothing. And my first reaction was, yay, the Lord's acknowledging that I need clothing. Oh boy. But then common sense settled in, and I said to myself, Claire, what else could this mean? Better look at both sides. Better safe than sorry. You see, one of the biggest impediments to clear discernment is an attachment to getting things your own way. You want to be justified in your desire for something. And in an effort to be justified, you even twist the scriptures that you get, even just a little, to accommodate your self-will. That's deadly in discernment. You have to be willing to get a big no from the Lord without pitching a pout. Easier said than done. Okay, well, I have a history with this word. The one, food and clothing, in the Bible Promises, that heading. I do have a history. To me, it immediately means, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Ouch! That's Matthew 6:25. And I looked it up again, you know, and just meditating on it. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And why do you worry about clothing? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. So don't worry. what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall wear, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And, you know, going to sleep wondering if I use the right word in the search engine, popping out of bed, firing up the computer and trying it again, you know. You can tell that's getting pretty obsessive compulsive. So I thought to myself, okay, that's one reading, Lord. So I prayed and I opened the Bible Promises again. What do you suppose I got? The very same page. The heading was Food and Clothing and Matthew 6. So there was no squirming around this one. Not at all. So just to seal it, I went for my third reading because I usually get three readings. And what did I get? Parents' duties. Well, that to us, both Ezekiel and I, immediately means taking care of the souls entrusted to us, being a mother, being a father, looking after the souls entrusted to us. And when I opened to that page, I immediately heard the Lord say in my right ear, how can you teach others what you yourself have not yet learned? So I thought, wow, I have a really big stake in this. I need to really rein myself in here, otherwise I'm not going to be able to help anyone else. I could feel that I'd lost my balance, and both the Lord and I were beginning to be grieved. So I told him that with his help, I would stop here whether I had what I thought I needed or not. I remember him saying to me, can you? Can you really stop here? He said it with such compassion and concern. And I replied, yes, Lord, I think I can. Later on, I had to run an errand, and when I was waiting in line, I opened my little pocket Bible to Psalm 51, which is the premier repentance psalm that David wrote after his sin with Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God. Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful psalm. To a casual observer, it might not seem like a big thing, me losing my balance or control of my wandering thoughts. But to one who knows my history with the Black Panther and how I almost lost my husband because of my willfulness, it's quite a big thing. If you hear any purring, that's my kitty Judah rubbing up against the microphone. Well, thoughts began to come up, and I had the grace to take them captive, and it seemed like I was gaining the victory over my wandering, perfectionistic mind. When you're a perfectionist, you are almost never happy. Well, what about this? Wouldn't that be better? Etc., etc. I'm sure none of you can relate. Well, in worship tonight, Jesus began to speak to me. The lure of riches is very strong in your family. When I let you go out like that, I cringe lest I lose you to the world. There are so many souls struggling with this malady around the world. Would you share with them your battle? I want to set them free, but some of them don't even recognize that it's a sin. So I knew the guinea pig was coming out of the cage again. I did have a legitimate question that I knew we would all ask, so I voiced it. But Lord, isn't it necessity to have certain things? He answered me, it's the driving force behind it that's so dangerous. You know it, Claire. You can feel it even now as we're talking. Just one more little thing. Whew, I'm done. Oh, I forgot. I need this too. But this wouldn't look right without that. And it goes on and on and on. There's no stopping it. There's no end to it. It's nefarious. Of course, I had to look that word up. which means wicked or criminal, the nefarious activities of the organized crime syndicates. And Jesus clarified it, and he said, translate it this way, the nefarious activities of organized groups of demons, of lust, acquisition, preoccupation, greed, avarice is huge, perfectionism, never finding the perfection it seeks, yet forever promising it and luring you deeper into distractions, idol worship, and sin. And it's interesting because I've gotten another reading earlier in the day about the idol-worshipping pagans that Paul had gone to and how they worshipped the things of their hands, gold and silver and so on. And the Lord always brings that up in talking about idolatry, along with avarice, relation to this particular difficulty of mine. The Lord continued, he said, it's not the need, my love, it's the driving passion, or more correctly, lust, that ensues on the heel of the need, under the guise of get it all done and over with. Yet there never truly is an end. Like that deep sea fish with the luminous fishing rod coming from the tip of its head. That's the anglerfish, I looked that up. The bait is putting off a glow, enticing its prey into its mouth. The mouth and jaw are distended along with the stomach, so the prey can swim right in, and before they know it, the teeth, which are angled inwards, trap them. The trap door shuts, and then you realize you've gone too far. It is an unhealthy attachment to things, and it brings a superficial satisfaction. It only lasts a short while, but then emptiness again. The emptiness is because it doesn't fit in the God spot. Part of the allure is the promise of a good meal, but rather than eating well, it is eaten. The enemy eats your lunch. Time is spent that can never be recovered. People around the world go without and with very little, while those who seek possessions have an overabundance. But Lord, these people have worked hard for their abundance. Have they? If you follow all the way back to the source, you will most certainly find where the poor have been exploited in one way or another. But that's not the point. The point is, it is a poison that continues to consume the soul. Enough is never enough. There's always more that's needed. The wealth of the rich gives them no rest, and so they continue to labor to have more and more and more. As Ecclesiastes says, the sleep of the laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much. But as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. And I'm ashamed to say it, but I've even jumped out of bed and booted up the computer because there was a search engine word that I hadn't used to find something when I was in the process of trying to find what I needed. The Lord continued, and he said, I wish for you to be satisfied with very, very little, because in finding your satisfaction with little, you demonstrate the very minimal importance of such things. Making do rather than having it all together and perfect is much, much safer. Then one does not become prone to excesses or constant tag-along, such as, well, now that I have that, I need this, and this, and as well this, and so on and on. The bait is not seen as bait. All that's seen is the shining light of your desires and expectations. Where you acquire this thing, you do not see that the jaws have closed behind you and made you captive until you cannot extricate yourself. This is precisely what credit cards do. They lure you into a life where you can have everything until you find yourself hopelessly trapped in debt. And those things that put you in debt have become obsolete, and you need more. Whereas the soul who seeks first my kingdom and all these things are added onto it, does not become entangled in satisfying their desires. They have learned to desire very little, if anything at all. They are as free as birds and see the possession of much as an occasion of sin, entanglement, and grief. From Matthew 6 also, seeking the Lord first. The Lord continued, and he said, as I had told you before, you come from a family that has a history of seeking the things below and not those things that are above. Therefore, even though you have broken that generational curse, there's still a vestige of you that enjoys acquiring things, an acquisitive spirit. Yes, Lord, I can feel that lusting for things, that lusting for completion, getting it all right and getting it all together and always having the better value or the better quality. I can just feel it like a quiet hum kind of vibrating in the background of my heart. It's terrible. He replied, it seeks to destroy you, Claire, and rip you right out of my arms. That is why it's such a struggle for you. It would seem you would get stronger and it would get weaker, but as long as it's there, you're in danger. Whether you feed it today and it lays low for a few years, or you starve it. Now, when I was in worship, I saw a black panther floating in the water like a crocodile. Only its nose and eyes and ears were above the water, and it was watching me very carefully to see what my next move would be. And it was ready to pounce. The Lord continued. He said, the only way to victory over this is to deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. When it becomes necessary, I will give you a peace about meeting your necessities. But until then, it's better to ignore it altogether. And I replied to him, yes, this time I was thinking, well, winter's coming. My everyday clothing is literally falling off my body. If the economy goes south, I will at least have warm clothing for the winter. And Jesus replied, I know all the things you were thinking, my love, and I know what that panther is thinking, too. You've slipped just a little and been a victim, distracted by opportunities to satisfy this need or that need. But that little slip was only the beginning of a serious downward spiral until you reined it in. Now I'm happy with your resolution to stop here. But do be on the lookout, for the enemy is seeking to destroy your soul and pull you away from my arms. Don't let him do it. This is not a casual warning. This is a serious warning. He continued, the dream you had last night, what attacked you? Tell them about it. Well, yeah, I had a nightmare last night that was probably the most powerful nightmare I've had in a long time. I had walked into a room. It seemed like it was a room in my house. And I thought to myself, this room feels a little funny. I wonder if there's someone behind the door, because the door was wide open. So I started to pull the door a little bit towards me to see if someone was behind it. And this very strong man just leapt out from behind the door and totally overpowered me and started stabbing me. I started screaming immediately and calling for help, and it was out loud, so I woke up Ezekiel. I scared the tar out of him. It was like I was totally overpowered by the strong man. Okay, so that was the dream. And the Lord continues here. That is the character and the power of the one who wants to overpower you and cause you to lose me. I know it seems incomprehensible to you now that you could lose the closeness we have together, but you have no idea just how close you have come. My brides, know that the enemy above all things wants to deprive you of me. To that end, he will try to make you work on the day you have for me for rest and church. He will make your schedule so tight there's nothing left for me. He will see to it that you are offered lucrative positions to curtail your time with me. He's stalking you, and he knows exactly where your hollow and weak spots are. This is why I'm warning you. This is also the season you prepare for winter. Storms, the cold, necessities for the house. And these demons are skilled in pushing you over the edge of what is reasonable and necessary into what is not justifiable, but in your own mind seems to be important. You lose your focus. Then you lose your balance. Then you lose your relationship with me. Don't let this season of preparing for the winter lead you into deep waters over your head where the enemy is lurking and waiting for an invitation to bring you down. No, pay particular attention to our relationship in this season loaded with change and distraction, and you will move through it securely in my arms, not looking back with regrets. I bless you all now with fortitude that you may overcome every vestige of self-love and self-seeking and be found worthy to stand before me on that soon approaching day. Amen.